I started to say what great singers, but I rather say what a great God.
Yeah.
Wonderful to hear good music. I'm blessed by that, but if that music doesn't make my mind and heart focus upon the greatness of our God, that's why I was so blessed. Because I, even though they sang wonderful, and I'm not taking anything away from them, what made me reflect upon the goodness and the greatness of our God. My, what a privilege. That's what our praise is about. God reveals Himself in His Word and by His Spirit. And we've recognized that we've become not just servants, but now He calls us friend, and He reveals His purpose and our miss in our hearts. The real truth of the matter is this relationship that we have with Holy God on the basis of all that He accomplished in the person of His Son becomes reality when we reflect upon the revelation of His performance in His book. That's what that song was about. They just sang what God said. All they sang about that He is and did, they sang about what was written in the book. Well, that's not my sermon, but it kind of got on top. I better get it off. Can I talk to you a little bit before I get started? I might think by the inch, but I preach by the yard. Now, at home, I got watchers. Now, I don't mean they watch their clock. They watch me. They told me that I didn't think as clear as I used to, and maybe I don't. I'm not going to let their suggestion influence my thinking. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Now, I always say to my wife, now, if I get to going crazy, you jump up and stop me. And so not long ago, she got up to go check on the phone. Somebody wanted me on the phone, and I thought she was stopping me. Caused me a real problem. But I want to make just a few comments to you before I start with the thought in my heart tonight. First of all, I want once again to publicly thank the Lord Jesus for saving me. He didn't have to, but He did. Last Sunday was 40 years ago. Now, I'm going to make a statement to you. When I make this statement, I don't want you to get all blowed up if you've got a different kind of view. It's all right with me. You just have it between you and God, not between me and you. But since that morning that God invaded my life when I sat in that place, I've not always been everything ought to be, folks, but there's never been a moment, never been a day that I didn't know I was saved. Never been a day. Preacher, I don't believe it. I believe you go through these doubts and struggles and strains. Well, folk, I want you to know over 60 years ago when I was born of my mother in Kannapolis, North Carolina, I've never doubted a day that I wasn't alive. Salvation's life. Now, I know we got a lot of psychology and a lot of philosophy that's dealing with these things that take place in our humanity, but I want you to understand something, that when Jesus Christ births us into His family, we become new creatures in Christ. That's what the Bible says, folks. And not only is it written on the page, it's real in the hearts of those who know it. So I just want to thank Him for saving me. Boy, when Brother Greg spoke sometime today, I don't know where it's morning or evening, but the Lord just spoke to my heart, brother. Now that you know, I appreciate it. I wish I could do some of the things that these great guys do that God's raised up in this day, but I want you to know I'm encouraged to see what God's doing in the hearts of these young men. Boy, I'm glad God's got some that just go and believe and obey. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful God saved me, and I'm grateful He's let me come one more time. This church means something special to me. This pastor means something special to me. I do not have the vocabulary to express the gratitude of my heart to God for letting my path cross His path even in those years when all I heard was death in the pot. I'm not going to ever let him live that down, folks. I'm glad that God did a great work and has done a great work and is doing a great work. I'm glad there's a special love in my heart for him. And I'm glad I feel his love for me. I don't know of any place I've been anywhere that I've known and sensed and felt loved any more than I have in this place. And I'm grateful to the Lord for that. I'm glad God let me come these days. I thank you for every message that I've heard. Tim, I pray for you and your daughter. I pray somehow the Lord in these days will so give you that special breath that you'll just keep on. You fed me this week. God's been good to me, letting me hear what you've had to say. And I'm grateful. Well, that family that sang, I heard you last year, I guess it was the last year they were here. I was blessed the night the Lord just rang the joy bells. I might not run up down the aisles, but inside I'm 6'9" and having a spell.
Bless you, Lord. Yeah. Bless you.
I'm grateful. I'm just glad God gives me little glimpses of who he is. Lets me watch him work in the journey. It's not the strut and struggle of my performance that has any eternal value. It's what God does in the hearts of men. I'm glad every once in a while I get on what God's doing, get to see it and experience what God's doing in the journey. Well, I got to hurry. If I don't, I won't get to where I'm going. This afternoon, I got to thinking, and they've accused me of preaching out of the New Testament all the time. I'm going to preach out of the Old. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 2 and 3. And I want to make some statements to you before I get started, if I will, please. I want you to remember that while the Bible, when it says do, do, then you're supposed to do it. And if it says don't do it, don't do it. Now, I want you to know that primarily those do's and don'ts are principles of God enlightening your mind that they might govern and guide. When you believe, and believer is a motivation for behavior, folks. When you believe right, you behave right. When you believe the right thing, you do the right thing. But the Bible is primarily a book of principles. Now, on one hand, you got this crowd over here that writes all these rules on the wall, and you got to keep them. Well, they flunking the course. They're not keeping them. All right. He's got a beautiful printed Ten Commandments back there, and I read that again a little while ago, or this afternoon, and I said, "Dear God, I never kept none of them." Well, that's right. I mean, while I see all of the perfection of holiness that's revealed from God's blessed book, I want you to know there is provision that has to be made for me that I might stand in that righteousness that's not my own. So, it's a book of principles. And I want to put and look at some principles. I don't want to do an exegesis of the passage, but I want to look at some principles. I'm going to give you about 7 of them. And the first principle is this: God is at work all around you. I'm in chapter 2 of the book of Exodus, and in verse 23. Now, I've got to change eyes, so you'll be patient a minute. I got some new ones coming, but I can't read if I don't do it. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock back to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush, and he looked. And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, while the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land unto a good land, and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hevites, and the Jebusites. And now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, had sent me unto you. Let's stop right there just for time's sake. I'd like to go ahead and read the next three chapters, but I'm not going to do that. First of all, I want you to notice something, that God is at work in the world. Every once in a while I hear them say that God has forsaken America. Folks, I want to tell you something. While we read the newspapers and hear the things that we hear that's transpiring in our land, I want you to know God is still at work in our world. And God is at work all around you. God has not forsaken us, and God knows exactly where you are. Now, did you know the circumstance that Moses found himself in was no accident? Why, did you know the children of Israel being in the land of Egypt was no accident? Did you understand that God was in all that transpired from the time Joseph was put in a pit and sold into slavery and carried into prison and came from the prison to the palace? Do you know that God is in control? God is at work all around us. Now, when Moses found himself on the backside of Midian, he was right where he was supposed to be. Every once in a while I hear them say, well, he got out of the will of God trying to do God's work in man's way and got out of the will of God. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. I don't know what he was trying to do when he rose up and killed those Egyptians, but I do want to tell you this. When God needed him where he wanted him, God had him there. I don't know all that transpired on the journey there, but I know that God was at work in Moses' world. God was at work. And I want to tell you something. God is at work in your world tonight. You're not here tonight by some accident. You've not been through the difficulties and the dilemmas and the stresses of your life just so that you can float through doing the best that you can. You're not here by accident. God has brought you to the place that you are. He is at work in your world. And He's at work in your world because He desires something with you. The second principle I want you to see is not only that God was at work in his world, but God would pursue a love relationship with Moses. He wanted a real personal relationship. Now that relationship was not initiated by Moses. It was initiated by God. So I want to tell you that every circumstance of your life, every moment of the journey, every condition that you face is evidence that God has been at work, and God is at work that He might have a personal, loving relationship with you. And He's taken the initiative in all that He's done to have that kind of relationship to you. Now He begins by revelation. Moses doing what comes naturally. And he saw a burning bush. Now somebody said to me not long ago, you know, just any old bush will do. And I said, well, God wasn't trying to show him a bush. He had a Ph.D. in bushology. I told you all that before. You need to digest that. He knew all about bushes. What God wanted him to see was a flame that needed no earthly fuel. Hang on now. Didn't need a bit of help from Moses. Didn't need a bit of help from the bush. It was fire on its own. And so Moses is going to see revelation of God. Now he's walking and he sees the bush burning. God has taken the initiative to get his attention. I want to ask you something. Can you stop just for a moment in your journey? And can you remember those circumstances of life? Words that spoken, deeds by friends, those things where God has gotten your attention in the journey. Initiated by God, not initiated by you. God has gotten your attention. God at work in your world. Circumstances bringing people and things and events across your path. And God has gotten your attention. And you know somehow that God is present. Now Moses saw the bush and he began to understand that God wanted to have a personal relationship with him. Oh, there's so much to do. I hear that all the time. Let's do this. Let's do that. Down in the church where I pastor, just a little old fellowship of believers, every once in a while they'll come together and say, don't you think we need to do this? Such and such in church is doing so and so. And I said, not unless God initiated it. See, they have a hard time with me because I don't have nominating committees. If I got two teachers that feel like God wants them to teach, I have two classes. Hello? If I got five teachers that feel like God wants them to teach, I have five classes. I mean, boy, that's not baptistic. Call it anything you want to. But if the Lord Jesus is the head of His church, He knows what He wants to do with that fellowship. We need to understand something, folks. God is initiating this relationship. If you believe God wants to have a personal relationship to you until He can reveal to you His purpose. Moses, you're about to have revelation. You're about to hear from heaven. You're about to know the purpose of God. You're about to understand something about the will of God. Now listen very carefully. The issue was not Moses to find out the will of God for his life. We've been teaching that to our kids and running them aground. That's not the issue. The issue is not saying, God, what is your will for me? That's not even the issue. The issue, God, is what is your will? Moses, don't you understand something? Sovereign, holy, righteous God is at work in His world, and grace is going to give you the opportunity to cooperate with Him that His will might be done in this world. And so here Moses is. God takes the initiative and begins to reveal Himself. Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. God's presence. Do you believe that God wants to have a personal relationship to you? Are you looking for an experience or a person? Are you expecting some zapping of salvation or the relationship to a living individual? Our God is alive. I want to remind you of the gospel story. Jesus not only died on a cruel Roman cross, He not only was buried in a borrowed tomb, but He rose victorious. He's the living Lord and knowable tonight. He's alive. And He wants to have a personal, loving relationship. A personal relationship with those that He breaks light on, those that He gives the understanding. A relationship. Now, when God reveals Himself to you, He wants to reveal Himself in you. That means He gives you the authority of heaven for your life. Moses is going to have a new authority for his journey. You see, a lot of folks just went and never been sent. A lot of folks see something they think's good and they don't have any word from the Lord on the issue, and so they just begin to do what they think's good and right down there. Here they are struggling, strutting in their own energy. Because they don't understand God is building this relationship. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Every circumstance of your life is that God would have a personal relationship to you. Personal. He wants to have a personal relationship, and He wants you to know His purpose. Well, I need to know the will of God for my life. Well, quit worrying about the will of God for your life. Just know the will of God. Hello? And grace will let you get in on what He's already purposed to do in this drama of redemption from beginning to the end. And the marvelous privilege of grace is God wants you to know His purpose. Now see, God's already had an ear that's inclined to the cries of those that are in bondage. He's already remembered the covenant relationship that's been made in the days gone past. Now He has chosen to break light, to reveal Himself to a man, that that man might be the instrument in His hands, that His will might be done on this earth. Not Moses' will, not to find out what you want me to do, God, in the journey, not give me some information, turn me loose and let me do it, that you might be in my hands and you might be in me, Moses, and I'll do it. It wasn't Moses that got the children of Israel out of bondage, it's God. But grace let Moses be the instrument through which God's purpose would be fulfilled. That's what God wants from everybody. Personal relationship, and then to reveal His purpose to you. Now, in the revelation comes an invitation for you to be a part. Now, I want you to hear this. This is so important, and I don't even have the vocabulary nor the words to explain it. But in the revelation, when God reveals you and reveals Himself, and you know you're in divine presence, in that revelation comes that invitation, that drawing, that bringing, that created desire for Him. In that revelation comes the invitation for you to join Him in what He's doing. Somebody asked me, said, what's God doing? I'll tell you what He's doing. Well, He's judging the world. Bless God, it's already been judged and found guilty. Sentence is already pronounced. That's not what God's doing. God's saving folks. God's redeeming. God's buying back. God's purchased. God has paid the price. That's what brothers sang about and sisters a moment ago. And everything he said, he's going to do, folks. And I want to tell you something. You can't stop him. Hell can't stop him. Heaven don't want to. I mean, it's going to come out just like God said it would. Right at the end. Everything he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Our unbelief doesn't stop God. Our disbelief doesn't stop God. And our belief doesn't add any dimension to God. But it lets us get in with God and what he's doing in time. And that's what grace is all about. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He's at work in your world. And he invites you to participate with him. Well, I've not seen God do anything in my world, preacher. Oh, yes, you have. Every time you ever heard a gospel message, every time you ever walked and had somebody to pray for you, every time you had somebody to witness to you, every time you've ever had somebody to testify, every time you've heard a gospel song, every time you studied a Bible lesson, every time you've been to Sunday school, every time, I mean, God is just at work all around you to reveal himself to you that he might have a personal relationship with you so his purpose can be fulfilled in you and through you. Thirdly, God speaks in the revelation. God spoke to Moses. In Amos chapter 3, the writer of Amos says that God reveals his purpose or his work to his prophets and his servants. But the book teaches. Now, when God reveals himself, he speaks. So I said, well, how does he speak? Does he speak with an audible voice? Maybe the voice of the preacher. Did you know? I know it's by the foolishness of preaching God chose to save, but I'm going to tell you something. Maybe the voice of a singer. Illuminating the truth that's been revealed, the seed that's been sown inside of your mind, and the Spirit of God on the wings of love illuminates the mind to that truth, and it becomes personal to you. Now, I'm going to tell you what happens when you know. Y'all want to know how God speaks?
Yep.
It's no longer general information.
Right.
It becomes personal.
Yes,
and when it becomes personal, no matter how many times you've heard it over and over again, no matter how many general times it's come, when it becomes personal, that's God speaking to you. Doesn't matter how old hat it is. Doesn't matter if it's a Bible verse you've known 50,000 times you've quoted it and read it. Doesn't matter. When it becomes personal to you, that's God speaking. Now it's not just general revelation. Now to Moses it's become particular. Personal revelation. Personal now. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, a lot of folk have nothing more than truth out there. But they don't have a word from God when truth becomes personal to their heart. When it becomes personal to the heart, that's God illuminating that truth to you. Now listen, folks. Listen, folks. Theoretical truth will never set you free. General revelation, believing all the Bible, will never set you free. It's the word from the Lord when God purposes to reveal his purpose to you. And it becomes personal. Boy, and it becomes so personal. It becomes so personal, folks, you can't get away from the personal touch from heaven. I mean, it becomes so personal, folks, until the burden of that personal word, whatever it happens to be, gets so great till you know you can't carry it. Personal. That's why Holy Ghost conviction is personal conviction. Now I want you to listen. Light will cause you to struggle, but real Holy Ghost conviction will cause you to give up. That day God saved me 40 years ago. Son, I wanted that preacher to shut up. I'd been under so much pressure so often, so long, that I was mad at God and everybody else and didn't have enough sense to know it. I wanted him to shut up. Personal word to me was so heavy until I was hopeless and helpless in my own strength. I'm so glad that I remembered some of, I had a personal word from the Lord. When I remember that little old simple Bible verse that I'd learned from a kid, that became a real reality to me when it said, God so loved the world, and somebody told me sometime, put my name right there. And the reality of that truth became truth to me. I never quoted that verse, folks, but for the first time in my life, I knew God loved just me.
Yeah.
Wasn't nobody else around, just me. Personal. It was personal in its conviction and condemnation. It was personal in its liberation and light. Personal. Very personal word. Became personal to me. Now listen, there's no such thing as general belief that produces salvation. How many of y'all believe the Bible's true? Folks, raise your hand. How many of you have ever told a story? How many sin you got to make and do to be a sinner? How many of y'all are sinners? How many of you sinners want to be saved? I've heard that so much about it must make God sick. That's general revelation. General truth. Has nothing to do with that personal revelation when God takes truth and makes it personal to me. Moses, this is a personal call. This is a personal revelation. This is not a general call to fly over Egypt and bring my folks out. This is personal. Doesn't include all of Egypt. It includes you. A majority of you and God. Just you, Moses. Somebody said, you think that's when Moses got saved? I'll let you figure that one out. But I know it was a personal revelation. And God desired a personal relationship with a man that God purpose to use to fulfill His purpose on this earth. Very personal. Very personal invitation. God spoke to him. Next. When God spoke to him, it caused a crisis in his life. When God spoke to him, Moses recognized he couldn't do what God even wanted. And so he said, God, I can't speak. And they're not going to believe me anyway. I mean, what's your name? Who am I going to say sent me down here? I mean, God, I can't speak. And the first thing that happened when God spoke and it was a personal revelation, a crisis was created in his life. Moses, you're going to have to trust God and adjust your walk and adjust your trust to believe what God has revealed. Well, I can't do that. You can't if God spoke. You can't do it if it's your trying. But God has initiated the call. That's what God wants, not what Moses wants alone. That's what God wants. God has initiated the call. God has spoken the word. Moses has heard. Now he's got a crisis. The crisis is, hey, I don't have any ability. I can't. God, I got some excuses. I can't. I want you to know every time God speaks to you, there's a crisis that transpires in your life. It's a crisis of faith. Every time God speaks. Now when he calls a crisis, he's going to have to adjust. He's going to have to adjust to join God. Now God's made every provision for him. Somebody said, what is his responsibility? His responsibility is to obey, and his obedience is evidence that he's adjusted his trust to what God has said. What is faith? Faith is acting upon what God has revealed. All of a sudden, that's what God had said with substance in Moses' life. He's going down to Egypt. He's on his way. Are you listening? Crises comes your way until you're willing to adjust you. Why do you think all this work and conviction and all the circumstance of your life, God at work around, is to bring you to the point that there'll not be anything upon which you'll depend except what God has revealed? That's a crisis. You have to throw down the junk. You have to lay down the excuses. You have to deal with the preconceived ideas. You don't have to lay down your religion, even your family, your relationships. You see, all those things, when God speaks, they become problems and crisis situations, and you're going to have to come to the point that you'll respond to God's word, God's revelation, above all the preconceived things that you have. Crisis. Got to be an adjustment in your life. What? Listen, folks. That's what all that God is doing in convicting, bringing power. He's at work in your world to establish His personal loving relationship that He might reveal His purpose in this world, and you can get in on it by the grace of God. He speaks very clearly, and we know it becomes personal in the journey. And when it becomes personal in the journey, that creates a crisis in our lives. And when that crisis is faced in honest trust to the revelation of God, something wonderful happens. Men are delivered. I'm like the last little principle. I know we got the preacher in a minute. Here's the principle. After Moses had the personal word, caused the crisis to adjust, his personal experiential knowledge of God came out of that walk from then on. See, what we're looking for is not kenosko, but epinosis. What we're looking for is not simply knowledge of God and all the step that He's going to do. That's wonderful to have that information, but when that is illuminated to our hearts and becomes personal, and our lives are adjusted to trust what God has spoken, His purpose is revealed. And when His purpose is revealed in the adjustment of our life, there's a personal, intimate, experiential knowledge of God. No longer is it theoretical, but now it's real.
Yep. Right.
Did you ever read that, sing that song? I wish I could sing. It's real. It's a good song. Jesus Christ is real. Now listen to me. Heard a lot of definitions of grace. Grace is not only the cessation of self-effort. Grace is the energy that brings us to that point. Grace is the atmosphere of divine revelation wherein God reveals to me, and to me God, and enables me that when that truth is seen and it's personal, that I might adjust my heart to that revelation until He can have a personal, intimate, loving relationship with me. Remember the other morning I told you that God wanted to control us by the presence of the Spirit in our spirit,
through our mind, emotion, will, reflected in our body through the physical, like He controls the animals with intuitive knowledge and the plants and what made us different. Y'all remember that the other morning when I dealt with that? If you've got the human spirit in its deadness, alive in its sensitivity to all the things of the world, and if it's operating your soulishness, manifesting it in itself in its body, I'm going to tell you something. That adjustment deals with the inner man. And that means that sometimes we've got to renounce what we think we've known. Personal thing. And I'm finished tonight. I've been sharing the gospel within a few months after God saved me. I was preaching on the streets, in the jails, just within a few months. The Lord did something inside of me that was so real. And I had such a burning desire. Three things transpired immediately the night God saved me, the day God saved me. One is an appetite that couldn't be satisfied for the Word. I'd read 6 and 8 hours a day, just a hunger for the Word of God. I saw, and things would excite me, and my old dad said that God taught him to read. He'd never been to school but 3 weeks in his life. And I'd call Dad, and I'd talk to Dad for a moment, or run by the house, and just share that verse that I'd read, that thing that, and it was an exciting time in those months, hunger for the Word of God. Second thing that happened to me was, I wanted to talk to God. Now, I didn't know a thing about praying and still don't. But I just talked to God like I talked to you. And so I wanted to pray all the time. They'd come by in the mill and think I'd lost my mind. I was working in a cotton mill. They'd think I was talking to myself. Yeah. They'd say, "Who are you talking to?" And I'd say, "To God." And they'd say, "Who?" I'd say, "To God." And I'd just be talking out loud, you know, talking to God. I got hungry to talk to God to pray. The third thing is I couldn't get enough of church. Everywhere I'd hear somebody's preaching, I'd go to church. I like singing. I like singing. I like singing and singing. I like highbrow music and lowbrow music and gospel music. And I like good preaching and bad preaching. And I didn't know the difference. All I knew is I liked it and didn't like it. Hello. I didn't know the difference. I'm a Baptist, by the way, by conviction. I tried not to be. I tried not to be a Baptist. I didn't want to be. All them old hypocrites I grew up around, I didn't want to be like that. I'm not going to labor that point. But it wasn't long till God opened the doors for me to go off to school. Now, on top of the traditions of my yesterday, they began to pile up on me more and more information. By the time I graduated from college, I was up to about here. By the time I got from graduate school, I was this full. And then I did some other study, and I got this full. And after a while, I was fuller than I could contain. And I've spent 30 years unlearning that junk. And the hardest struggle I've ever had is to deal in the inner man with stuff I thought I knew that I found out wasn't so. That's harder than taking in new information I'd never heard. A lot harder. Church sent me to the Babcock School of Management in Wake Forest, North Carolina, or Wake Forest University at Winston-Salem. And I went to Winston-Salem to go to school. When I came out, I was confused with the term I knew, yo-yo. Wasn't long, they had a little course on church growth. He said He builds the church. This adjustment has to do with the inner man and the submissiveness of who we are to the truth that God reveals, to the light we have. Why? Because He's going to have a personal, intimate relationship with you that He can operate your life.
I felt bad that I slept late this morning. I want to get all the preaching. I need the preaching that I hear. And then I love y'all, and I didn't want to miss what... I didn't want y'all to think I'd run out on the preachers, and I really wasn't. But I got to praying after I got up. Now, if y'all tell anybody I didn't take a shower at 11 o'clock, I don't y'all tell that. They think we preachers are kind of lazy anyway, but I was sick. But when I took a shower this morning, I had my quiet time. I'm doing a little Bible study on my own. In fact, I'm leaving early Monday morning to drive to Louisiana to meet 75 men. We're going to have 3 days of fasting and prayer. And I'm doing the study, all the prepositions of the Greek New Testament in relationship to the subject of prayer. Are you doing it to preach? I don't even know that I'm going to preach. I'm doing it for me. It's adjusting me. If it's not on the personal word for me, it won't do anybody else any good. And so I got to studying this morning. And then when I got to asking God to illuminate to my mind, just like God said, well, I've been trying to take care of you, and I've been trying to govern your calendar. And then when I give you opportunity to rest, you get irritated about it. And I confess. You're not understanding what I'm saying, are you? I'm talking about this adjustment. God will adjust you on that side, and He adjusts you on this side. The adjustment is a continual adjustment, beginning when God breaks light on you in a lost condition and not completing itself until you lay down the tabernacle of your humanity and you're in the presence of the Lord. He's still adjusting me. He did for salvation, and He's doing it for sanctification.
Right. 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 Yes. Yes.
He's still adjusting.
Yes.
Moses, you'll never be the deliverer if you're not in the middle of the crises of life, adjust to the purpose of God. And you'll never come to know the freedom that God has to give out of the bondage of sin and sinfulness. If you're not willing to understand, God wants to have a personal relationship with you to reveal His purpose and giving you an invitation to participate in what He's doing in this world. He is at work.
Yes, He is.
All around
you. Yes, He is.
And His purpose is to have a personal relationship with you.
Yes.
So that through you, He can have a personal relationship to others.
Right. Amen.
But you're going to have to adjust to the light God gave you. My what a God. Father, I want to thank You for the Lord Jesus and who He is. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're always in the right relationship with the Father, for You are the Father. And we don't understand when we say, Holy God, how You can be unapproachable and dwell in light and be whole and righteous and yet loving Father. But thank You that You made it possible through the revelation of Your Son. I want to thank You, Father, that it was personal to me, and it's personal tonight. I want to thank You that You are in the business of redeeming us, and as You redeem us, buy us back, You redeem the time in which we dwell. We're to hear You and obey You. Adjust to what You revealed to our hearts and our lives. Now, Father, I want to pray for these that have assembled here tonight. I don't know all that's involved in their life, but Lord, I know You know. I pray that the light of the news, the good news, would so penetrate them until it would not only be light, it'd be life, that they might walk in the love. Oh, God, for Jesus' sake, bless Brother Ed and all that's come, and bless our preacher in a moment. For Jesus' sake, amen.